This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Corn futures came all the way back from big losses Thursday and even gained some ground, with futures closing 13 and three quarters to 9 3/4 cents higher Friday. March corn was 3.5 cents higher for the whole entire week. The 5 3/4 cent gain in the March futures on soybeans was not enough to erase the 16 1/4 cent loss on the week last week. However, front month soybean futures did finish 5 1/4 to 5 3/4 cents higher on Friday. Soybean meal futures closed steady, but were $2.90 a ton lower week over week. March bean oil futures gained 32 points on the day, reducing the weekly loss to minus 1 point. Wheat futures closed the week on Friday, and Minneapolis spring wheat led the way. The hard red wheat futures in Minneapolis were up 8.5 to 9 3/4 cents higher at the close, which was enough to erase the weekly early loss. Chicago futures gained 6 cents on the weekly chart, pulling off a 5 1/4 cent rally Friday. Kansas City futures were up 9 1/4 to 9.5 Friday, but the March contract still posted a weekly loss of 0.25 cent lower. When to recap those livestock or grain futures rather on the Board of Trade from Friday, corn for March was up 13 3/4 last Friday to 389 1/4. May corn up 12 3/4 to 395 1/4. July corn up 12 to 401. Soybeans for March gained 5 3/4. May beans were up 5 3/4 as well. March at 929 3/4. May at 943. And July beans up 5.5 to 955 1/2. Wheat for March up 5 1/4 to 570 1/2 on Friday. May wheat up 5 to 571 1/4. July wheat up 3 3/4 to 570 1/2. Soybean meal was steady at $300.60 per ton for the March contract, and soybean oil last Friday was up 32 to 33.35. And that's a recap of your grain futures from last Friday from the Board of Trade. Moving on now into ag news on your Friday, on your Monday afternoon, rather. President Trump addressed the American Farm Bureau Federation on Sunday as part of its 2020 annual convention in Austin, Texas, and he promised better times for farmers ahead.
With your faith, your grit, your tenacity, your talent, and your patriotism, the best days for America and the best days for America's farmers and ranchers are yet to come.
That message concluded his roughly 45-minute speech, which highlighted recent wins for farmers, being the recent trade deal with China and the upcoming signing of the USMCA. Trump championed the recent events in promising to return to the event next year.
And together we've achieved something truly stunning, and really it was a historic number of victories. Not one, we had numerous victories, a lot of them just, it sort of all came together. What good timing. I said, let's see if we can get it done for this event. Most presidents don't come, and when they do, they come once. This is my third time in a row, and I promise I'll be here next year.
Trump says his administration is fighting for the American farmer and rancher every single day. Trump referenced a recent Wall Street Journal poll stating 83% of farmers and ranchers approve of his work. The AFBF convention concludes later on this week. Moving on into worldwide ag news here on your Monday, the most serious outbreak of desert locusts in 25 years is spreading across East Africa and threatening food security in some of the world's most vulnerable countries. Unusual climate conditions are partly to blame. An extremely dangerous increase in locust swarm activity has been reported in Kenya. The outbreak also has affected parts of Somalia, Ethiopia, and Sudan. Authorities warn that parts of South Sudan and Uganda could be next. Regional authorities say there is a high risk of further spread for several months to come, as heavy rains has helped locust breeding conditions. Moving on to national ag news again, a 102-year-old man who is Indiana's oldest state employee is retiring after nearly 60 years on the job, saying that your body tells you when it's time to go. Bob Vollmer plans to report to work for the last time on February 6th as a surveyor for the Indiana Department of Natural Resources. He joined the DNR in 1962. The World War II veteran still travels Indiana, collecting technical field data and confirming boundary lines for DNR-managed properties, but tells WXIN-TV that his body is telling him it's time to retire. The southern Indiana resident plans to spend his retirement reading and farming. In other national ag news, even though the first trade deal with China has been signed, Ag Secretary Sonny Perdue still expects the U.S. farmers to get a third round of 2019 trade aid payments. The USDA hasn't officially announced if and when the farmers could get those payments. Perdue tells Bloomberg that the move is still waiting for approval from the White House Office of Management and Budget. Perdue says the agreement won't interfere with the final round of trade assistance payments made under the Market Facilitation Program. He's quoted to say, "My expectation is the third round will be issued immediately." Perdue says he's counting on it, but we've got to get that allocated through the OMB. But I see no reason why we can't get that done. The U.S. government instituted the aid program as the trade war with China escalated and the Asian country implemented retaliatory tariffs on American farm goods. The first round of payments was issued last fall, with the second payment coming in the winter. Perdue did say that farmers shouldn't expect new assistance this year beyond the $28 billion that was previously approved. The administration wants to begin phase two trade talks with China as soon as possible, with President Trump willing to travel to China to help get them started. And we'll continue on into state and local ag news following these messages on your Monday afternoon.
Want to own your future? Wayne Schaefer at Country Financial can help you find the right plan to get started. The kind of plan that will take into account all the things in your life that matter most. Contact Wayne Schaefer at Country Financial today at 498-5800. 498-5800.
M&M Service Company would like to take this opportunity to say thank you to their customers for their continued patronage over the years. Their customers are the foundation of their success, and without them, M&M wouldn't be where they are today. They are truly grateful for your trust in their company and look forward to serving your agricultural needs for many years to come. M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of needs.
Red or green, the question that draws a line in the sand for the farming community. Well, now, regardless of which side you're on, Macoupin County Farm Bureau members can enjoy a discount with the new John Deere and Case IH special discounts. Members can save up to $500 off Case IH equipment. And John Deere offers Farm Bureau members a free Platinum 2 membership. For more information, contact the Macoupin County Farm Bureau at 217-854-2571.
And we're back here on your Monday Afternoon Ag Show, and moving on to state and local news. Everyone involved within the trucking industry in Illinois was keeping an eye on the first of the year. That's when the recreational marijuana law became legal in the state. But according to Don Schaefer of the Midwest Truckers Association, the trucking industry falls under the rules of the federal government, so any violation of the rules would result in federal consequences.
Well, you know, we finally, there's a lot of trepidation out there. People were worried about what the impact of the Illinois recreational marijuana law was going to have on the industry. You know, the bottom line is it should have no effect whatsoever on the truck operators. As we said before, they're already under federal law. The federal law is very specific about the tolerance level for drugs and alcohol, and nothing's changed. So from that standpoint, what you do on your own time is fine, but don't show up to work with the residual effects of alcohol or marijuana in your system, or you're going to be, you know, for the most part, bumped out and you're going to be jobless. But also what we're seeing are a lot of companies now are saying, you know, I've never thought in the past that I've needed a policy to deal with drugs and alcohol in my workplace. But with Illinois recreational marijuana law basically legalizing it, that makes it very different. Therefore, we are seeing many companies coming to us, and not just trucking companies. These are construction companies, these are hotels, motels, restaurants, these types of things, saying we want to put a program together because, you know, the employer is trying to protect themselves. The employer is the one that is ultimately responsible for any type of a situation, and they don't want an employee who's high from the marijuana they were smoking out in the parking lot before they came inside to cause an accident to endanger other employees. This has become a very critical issue in the last couple of weeks, and we've seen a lot of companies that are saying, hey, I finally realize this isn't good for me. What can I do to protect myself? And thus we're setting up these drug-free workplace programs for those companies maybe who have not had to deal with it in the past.
And it's one of those common sense things. It's always been, well, of course, don't show up drunk or high to work. But now that the new law is in place, it's kind of thrown common sense right out the window.
Yeah, if you want to call it common sense, I mean, basically that's what it is. I mean, first of all, don't be stupid enough to think that you can sit there and smoke and, dope in the parking lot or smoke it before you go to work.
Don and I also talked about the long-awaited Drug and Alcohol Clearinghouse website for truckers that would log all major violators that have been convicted of a DUI while operating a tractor trailer in the country. But Don also explains, as soon as the site opened, it quickly closed.
Well, we've been talking about that leading up to this. You know, this is something that's been talked about for 10 years, has been actively been prepared to take effect for the last 2 years, and the effective date of it was 2 weeks ago today, January 6th. Everything was leading up to this, and you would think that everyone would be geared up, ready to go. We knew there were problems in the fall when the feds basically said, well, we're only going to adopt half of the program right now. We're going to delay the other part of the program for a few years because we know that the states, they can't do their part. The clearinghouse, very simply, is a place where these positive drug test results are reported to the federal government. Never been done before in the past. So this is, one more thing to keep a closer eye on the trucking population and to weed out the bad guys. Everyone was jumping all over each other to try to get ready for this. But FMCSA, Division of U.S. Department of Transportation, was not. They tripped. They fell. Their system crashed. So everyone's trying to get into this thing to get ready for it, and no one could get into the system. So companies that have been desperately trying to get into the clearinghouse, and we're talking hundreds of thousands of companies. But anyone with trucks, again, they know that they have to get into this program. They can't. For right now, things are kind of on hiatus. For those people who have been keeping track of this, who we've been informing about how you get into it, the requirements of what you have to do, just keep watching and we'll update everyone. But for the time being, the clearinghouse is a dismal failure. It's not working. It shut down. It crashed. And until we know otherwise, it's going to stay that way.
And again, that was Don Schaefer, Executive Vice President with the Midwest Truckers Association in Springfield. Moving on now to our local Ag Community Bulletin Board, the Macoupin County Soil and Water Conservation District is holding the Macoupin Creek Watershed Meeting. That'll be held at the Carlinville Elks Lodge on Wednesday, January 29th, from 6 until 8 that evening. RSVP, however, is due by this Friday, and you can do that by calling the Macoupin County Soil and Water Conservation District's office at 854-2626, extension 3. The Illinois Wheat Association and the Illinois Soybean Association's checkoff programs are combining to join forces in 2020 to co-sponsor the Illinois Double Crop Farmers Forum. The forum will be held on Thursday, January 30th, at the Doubletree Hilton Hotel in Mount Vernon. Registration that morning is from 7:30 until 8:30. The conference presentation begins at 9, and the Illinois Wheat Association's annual meeting will be held at 8:30. Speakers and topics will cover double crop management, marketing strategies. The Wheat Yield Contest winners panel will be there as well, and the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Risk Management Agency will be there as well. The conference agenda is posted online at illinoiswheat.org. The Montgomery County USDA's Farm Service Agency will be holding an informational meeting to provide an overview of two USDA safety net programs, ARC and PLC. Two meetings have been scheduled to accommodate interested participants. The first is on Thursday, January 30th at 10 a.m., the second on Tuesday, February 4th at 2:30 in the afternoon. Both meetings will be held at the Montgomery County Farm Bureau at 102 Main Street on the Courthouse Square in Hillsboro. Sign up for safety net programs for this year and last is currently underway, An election choice between ARC and PLC must be made by March 15th. To RSVP for either meeting, you can do so by calling the FSA office in Hillsboro at 532-3361, extension 2. The Staunton FFA alumni will be holding their annual chicken and beer dance along with a live and silent auction. That'll be held at the Crystal Ballroom in Staunton on Saturday, February 1st from 5 until 11. Tickets are available, $25 per person, in around businesses in Staunton. And you can call Mike or Linda at 618-402-2710 for details. And that'll wrap up this Monday afternoon edition of The Farm Show. Reporting for WSMI Ag News, I'm Gabe Osborne.